chance of flurries late this afternoon. Near steady temperatures around 32 degrees. A chance of precipitation just at 20% for late today. Cloudy skies tonight. A slight chance of snow this evening. A chance of flurries after midnight. The low around 25 degrees. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Scattered flurries in the morning. The high around 28 degrees. Northwest winds up to 15 miles an hour. For Saturday evening, colder conditions, partly cloudy skies, the low 15 degrees, winds up to 15 miles an hour. Mostly sunny on Sunday with a high of 30, partly cloudy Sunday evening, the temperature around 25 degrees. Monday, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of snow, the high 35 degrees, the low that evening around 20 degrees. Partly sunny skies on New Year's Day with a high of 25. Tuesday night and Wednesday, partly cloudy, the low around 15 degrees, the high around 28. Looking at temperatures around the area right now, Indianapolis has 30 degrees. Around Illinois, we've got 32 at Willard Airport, 32 in Danville, 33 in Decatur, and on Friends Plaza in Urbana, 31 degrees.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Christie Clinic, offering convenient care to treat life's unexpected, non-emergency conditions. Christie Clinic convenient cares are located in Champaign, Urbana, and Danville with weekend and extended hours. More information is at ChristieClinic.com.
It's 12:41. Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed a bill that would ban Americans from adopting Russian children. Russia's parliament overwhelmingly approved the ban, which is designed as retaliation for a new U.S. law that sanctions Russian officials accused of human rights violations. NPR's Corey Flintoff reports on why Russia chooses to retaliate in a way that might harm the country's image.
Putin signaled this week that he planned to approve the measure, which he has called a tough but fair response to the United States. In a meeting with top government officials, the Russian leader mocked the idea that Russian orphans might have a better life in other countries. He said that living standards in many countries might be better than Russia, but does that mean we should send our children there? It may be hard for Americans to fathom why Russia's leaders would be willing to take such a drastic and potentially unpopular step. Masha Lipman of the Moscow Carnegie Center says the answer has its roots in resentment of the fact that Russia, once on a par with America in terms of power, has now been relegated to second-class status. Lipman says that makes it easy for the government to resort to anti-American rhetoric when it feels threatened, especially by the wave of anti-government protests that erupted in major cities last winter. In that atmosphere, she says, the U.S. legislation known as the Magnitsky Act was seen as a humiliating interference in Russia's domestic affairs.
Throughout his tenure, Putin has repeatedly sent this signal, nobody has the right to teach us or preach to us. And here it comes. An ultimate insult because they teach us and they tell us which Russians will be barred from entering America because they are implicated in human rights abuse. And the desire to respond is almost irrational.
The Magnitsky Act is named for Sergei Magnitsky, a Russian lawyer who exposed what he said was a massive tax fraud on the part of Russian officials. Human rights groups say Magnitsky was sent to jail in retaliation for his whistleblowing and that he died there in 2009 as a result of maltreatment and denial of medical attention. The U.S. Act sanctions Russian officials who are believed to have been involved in Magnitsky's death. Lipman says many of the American lawmakers who voted for the Magnitsky legislation may have done so without much thought to the response it would stir in Russia. But Russian lawmakers seem not to have considered either the international or domestic reaction to their legislation. She says outrage against the bill is no longer confined to people who would normally be thought of as opposition members.
We have a divide inside the Russian Orthodox Church, with some people in the top church hierarchy being against the law and others being for it. We have a split in the Russian cabinet. Several ministers have spoken cautiously so, but spoken against it, pointing out that this amendment would be in conflict with the Russian Constitution.
Despite the opposition, Putin has now signed the law, and he followed it with a presidential decree calling for changes in Russia's orphanages. Russia's Ombudsman for Children's Rights, a Putin ally, has said the ban will apply to 46 American families that have nearly completed the adoption process and were waiting for their Russian children.
Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Moscow.
What's in store for the airline industry in 2013? It could include the biggest airline merger ever. For months, a deal between American Airlines and the U.S. Airways has been talked about. The new year is also likely to bring slightly higher domestic ticket prices and some new planes. NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports.
A merger of American Airlines and U.S. Airways would create the nation's largest carrier. Consolidation among the so-called legacy airlines would be essentially complete. Over the past several years, Delta has teamed up with Northwest and united with Continental. The conventional wisdom is those mergers led to higher fares, but Jonathan Kletzel of the consulting giant PwC says that's not what the data show.
Fares have definitely not gone up because of mergers on the whole. You will always find some individual markets where you can make that case, but on the whole and across the entire market, we just didn't see that.
He says typically when a merger has left just a single carrier in a significant market, another airline has moved in to take its place. But Kletzel goes on to say,
these mergers do have a short period of time where there's potentially some operational disruptions associated with those mergers.
Indeed, United and Continental, which have finished integrating their operations, struggled mightily over the summer. In July, fewer than 65% of the airline's flights were on time. Still, there were fewer flight delays overall this year compared to last, and fewer complaints about lost bags, probably because fewer passengers are checking them. And what about fares? Rick Sini, CEO of the online site Fare Compare, says domestic fares were up an average of about 5% in 2012.
And that's a reflection of seven domestic airfare hikes that stuck this year. Domestic fares have been just sort of creeping up gradually the last few years, but international airfare has jumped pretty dramatically.
Fuel surcharges and taxes are largely to blame. Looking ahead to 2013, experts predict that domestic fares will increase another 5% this coming year, but Sini says savvy shoppers can save money.
The cheapest time to buy your airline ticket is Tuesday afternoon, specifically at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Most airlines file sales on Monday night. All the other airlines scramble to match, and those cheap seats hit the reservation systems.
Another travel tip comes from Sarah Gavin at Expedia, the giant online travel agency. Don't book a flight and say to yourself, I'll worry about hotels and rental cars later.
There's no bigger mistake out there in terms of saving money on your travel.
Gavin explains that when flights, hotels, and other things are bundled, companies can offer big discounts because they don't have to publicly reveal the price they're offering.
I went to San Francisco. I stayed at a four-star hotel in Union Square, and my hotel was essentially free. I ended up paying the same amount that I would have paid just for my airfare alone.
As for those ancillary fees, those pesky charges for things like luggage and meals, the airlines will continue to charge for them. They produce significant revenue. The good news for consumers here is that as the airlines make more money, the service they provide should improve. As Rick Sini notes, brand new airplanes are being added to the fleets.
These newer aircraft are much more airy. They're configured with bigger bin space. Anybody that's flown on a 20-year-old MD-80 versus a brand new 737 knows it's a better experience.
The traveling public can only hope 2013 brings better travel experiences. Airlines consistently rank near the bottom on surveys of customer satisfaction. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 28th of December, 2012. It's the birthday of the man who said, "Lead us not into temptation, just tell us where it is, we'll find it." Sam Levinson, the humorist, born New York City, 1911. It's the birthday of the novelist Simon Raven, born in London, 1927. He was going to become a professor of literature, but he said, "I very soon concluded that nothing would induce me to read, let alone take notes on, hundreds and hundreds of very, very, very boring books. So he turned to writing fiction instead." Author of a 10-volume series of novels called Alms for Oblivion. First volume came out in 1964. It's the birthday of Stanley Martin Lieber, born in New York City in 1922. Grew up watching Errol Flynn movies and reading boys' adventure stories. Decided to be a writer, but he got a job just out of high school as a gopher for a publishing company that put out comic books. At first, he went to work getting people coffee, sweeping the floors, and running errands. Then he began to proofread, and then he began to write the occasional script. But he was embarrassed working on comic books, so he gave himself a pseudonym by taking his first name, Stanley, and dividing it in half, and calling himself Stan Lee. He was 18 years old when the editor of the publishing house quit, and Stan Lee got the job as head editor and writer. He was embarrassed still about working on comic books. He thought what they lacked was complex characters, and he set out to create characters that he personally could relate to, heroes with feet of clay. He created the Incredible Hulk, the X-Men, Thor, Doctor Strange, and the Amazing Spider-Man. An awkward teenager, Peter Parker, who develops superpowers after he's bitten by a radioactive spider. He was the first superhero to be filled with self-doubt, the first superhero to struggle with the question of whether he wanted to be a superhero at all. The publishing company hated the idea of Spider-Man, but the first issue sold every copy, and he went on to become one of the most popular superheroes ever invented. Here's a poem for today by Naomi Shihab Nye, entitled Frankly. No one has time for the dying, and they don't have time for us either. Our lunch dates and appointments, their fitful sleeps and crusted eyes. Students circling in a parking lot down the road certainly don't have time. First period coming too soon will scatter clumps of flirtation. Moms in fitness garb with grocery lists and carpool numbers stuck to refrigerators have too many of the living to pick up, drop off. At the end, we bore the dying, our teary smiles, pitiful offerings. Frank said, if I could only get back to my desk, back to work, and closed his eyes. Last line. What a surprise to learn the greatest pleasure of life was all that daily labor. A poem entitled Frankly by Naomi Shihab Nye.